UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
The American Medical Association designated obesity a disease in 2013, and as a result, the idea that obesity is caused by insufficient willpower, lack of discipline, and bad choices began to transform. Here to tell us about obesity as a disease is Dr. Amy Warriner. She's an associate professor in the Division of Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Warriner. So explain a little bit about obesity today, and what are you seeing in the general populace?
Yes, thank you for having me. I think the diagnosis of obesity as a disease is a really important one. As you mentioned, unfortunately, many times we blame patients and people around us for being obese or for having obesity, and it's really not their fault. Obesity can be thought of as causing problems by two main mechanisms. One is the disease of the adipose cell, which can cause abnormal metabolism, which leads to things like diabetes, high blood pressure, abnormal cholesterol. The other effect of obesity is through mechanical forces. And so we see changes in people who have obesity related to the excess adipose tissue, which leads to things like arthritis, irritable bowel syndrome or gastroesophageal reflux, incontinence, urinary incontinence, problems with skin due to rubbing of skin and infections under skin folds. And so the complications related to obesity are really vast.
So do you feel that there is, because we mentioned it a little bit about the stigma, and even with physicians, do you feel that they are prepared or not prepared to deal with it, and how can we strengthen the case for medical support?
In general, physicians are not well trained historically for managing obesity. There is not good nutrition education, nor has there been good education regarding management of obesity for medical students or other ancillary staff. And so I think it goes beyond, not only do we not, as physicians, have the training necessary to treat obesity, from the multifactorial causes of obesity, but we also look at patients, unfortunately, in different ways depending on how they present and what their size is. And I think that you hit it on the head as far as the stigma associated with obesity. We do it not only in the physician office, but in the general community as well. And so I think we continue to put the blame on patients. There is a lack of understanding that that most patients actually are trying to lose weight. Patients don't choose to necessarily be the size that they are, but because of mechanisms underlying their obesity, they've been unable to lose the weight and or keep it off.
So as far as comorbidities, because there are so many that come with obesity now, with high blood pressure and cholesterol, as you mentioned, and of course diabetes and heart disease and skin infections, there are so many. Do you think that physicians have been just focused on those comorbidities as they pop up instead of treating the person as a whole and dealing with the underlying source of the issue?
Yes, for sure. I think that unfortunately, we frequently wait until there are problems to address obesity. There has been a lack of ability from a medical treatment standpoint and also from other management standpoints to treat obesity as a primary prevention. And so instead, we are waiting until patients have complications like the diabetes or heart disease before we intervene. But even then, our interventions at this point historically have had somewhat limited success until the past few decades with the advancement of bariatric surgery to really reduce weight in a long-term way. Our medical therapies are improving, but we still have a long way to go as far as managing obesity from a chronic perspective.
So as we define obesity as a chronic progressive relapsing disease process, when you're looking at an epidemiological model of this disease and you speak about environmental agents and the outside world, really, when we talk about treatments, what would you like other physicians to know about some of these things that are available out there and ways to take advantage of them, whether or not their hospital system offers bariatrics or nutritional counseling and support groups or whatever it is? What would you like them to know about including these so that they can, you know, explore all of the options to help their patients?
Yeah, I think I will answer that in a multi-level process. So there's been a recent article written by Louis Aroney, one of the national leading experts in obesity, looking at the comparisons between hypertension and obesity and how hypertension originally was thought of as a problem with what the person was doing themselves. So because they were eating poorly or because they had gained weight, they developed hypertension, and that management of hypertension really should be through lifestyle interventions. And we've since learned that really hypertension needs to be controlled through medical management. Yes, there are some lifestyle changes that someone can make to improve their blood pressure, but hypertension is a disease. We need to treat it with medications, and now we have a plethora of medications that we can use to manage hypertension. I think that we're going to see a similar progression with obesity. Obesity is a multifactorial disease. It's not simply related to calories in versus calories out. There's definitely an impact of what we eat and how active we are in regards to what our weight is, but that's not the overall problem with obesity. There are underlying mechanisms that are ongoing in patients that predispose them to gaining weight and to being obese that have to be addressed. Currently, we have 5 FDA-approved weight loss medications that are on the market that we can utilize to help treat our patients with obesity. They help, but they have to be used in conjunction with lifestyle changes. And those lifestyle changes are largely behavioral changes. And as we all know, behavioral changes take time, and they take a lot of work in helping patients make those changes and maintain those changes. And so our approach to treating obesity needs to be at multiple levels as well. And so it's not as simple as seeing a patient in the office, handing them a prescription, and sending them home. We really need to give our patients access to nutritional information. We need to teach them what appropriate intake and appropriate diet should look like. We need to teach them about activity and teach them about increasing activity. It may not be running marathons. It may not be going to the gym every day, but doing some activity on most days and helping them learn activities that they can do even with physical limitations. And then we need to use medications where appropriate to help address hunger and improve satiety or help reduce cravings or whatever the underlying issues may be that patients are struggling with that are preventing them from successfully losing weight.
And while we see certain particular different races and cultures that have a propensity toward obesity, Dr. Warner, is the recognition of obesity as a disease, it has the potential to over-medicalize a problem that might come from environmental or societal origins. Do you also think that it has the potential to improve treatment access and outcomes to strengthen those measures to reduce these environmental effects to which whatever population is exposed? Do you see a quest for a single set of diagnostic criteria happening in the medical community?
Yeah, so I think that's a really interesting question. I think that there will be differences as far as what outcomes we want to achieve for patients depending on some of those variables. Some of the environmental factors and racial and ethnic factors are factors related to cultural norms, And so in some populations, it's normal to be slightly larger or to have a higher BMI, have a higher baseline weight. And that's viewed as normal compared to other cultures where typically people within the culture are very thin and holding any excess weight is abnormal. And so that's a cultural level. That's something that's been seeded deep down into that culture. And it's very probable that in some of the cultures where the excess weight is associated with poor outcomes, and associated with medical and metabolic comorbidities, that we may need to work with anthropologists and epidemiologists on ways to change the view of what is quote-unquote normal. In regards to how we manage, it's very probable that some of our therapies are better in some persons rather than in others. And we don't understand right now why some people respond better to some of our medications that we use for treating obesity compared to other people. There may be some racial differences and differences from a genetic standpoint that make one person respond better than others, and that's something that we're hoping to learn. There are studies ongoing looking at why one person may respond well to one medication and not another. And I think with our growing information regarding the genetics of obesity and the genetics in general that vary between person to person, we may be able to answer those questions in the near future. But it's a multi-level process because some of this is really just a cultural norm versus a true genetic or medical reason for different responses.
So in summary and to wrap up, Doctor, please tell other physicians what you'd like them to know about obesity as a disease and when it might be important to refer to a specialist.
I think the important thing to recognize is that in general, again, patients are not wanting to necessarily gain weight. And they, in most cases, have tried time and time again to lose weight. And when we approach them and look at them and tell them that they need to change what they're doing, that's not helping them. They need some real guidance, whether it be from a dietitian or an eating behaviorist or an obesity specialist, to help them achieve their goals of losing weight. I think we also have to recognize that obesity is not only related to hypertension and diabetes, but there are other things that we're learning regarding excess weight, including it now being associated with 13 different cancers and disease processes or complications that we don't always think about, like urinary incontinence. And so we need to be mindful of the complications associated with obesity. We also have to be mindful that patients want to change frequently, but they are unable to do it on their own. And so providing them proper guidance is important, involving dietitians, involving physical therapists to help guide them on proper exercise plans is available through most insurance coverage. It's providing them the proper help and the proper guidance.
Thank you so much for being with us today to discuss this very important topic. And a community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.